The next section is section G, company vans. And again, there's a working sheet number 3, which is available to help make the calculation. Employers are required to report the cash equivalent of all vans made available for unrestricted private use. The report goes on box 9 for the use of the van, and there's the new box 10 for any private fuel that is reported. A van is defined as a mechanically propelled road vehicle, which is of a construction primarily suited for the conveyance of goods or burden of any description, and of a design weight not exceeding 3,500 kilograms or 3.5 metric tons. The working sheet tells us that if the van is used mainly for business travel and the only other use is for ordinary commuting, there is no benefit charge and you need not complete this form. Other private use can be ignored if it's insignificant, and HMRC examples of insignificant private use are an employee taking an old mattress or other rubbish to the tip once or twice a year, an employee making a slight detour to stop at a newsagent on the way to work, or an employee calling at the dentist on the way home. HMRC examples of use that is not insignificant include an employee using the van to do the supermarket shopping each week, an employee taking the van away on a week's holiday, or an employee using the van outside of work for social activities, perhaps, I suppose, going to the football or the races or what have you. Where a taxable benefit does arise, the cash equivalent is a standard charge of £500. And please remember that for this year, 2007-08, there is no longer a reduction to £350 for a company van that's over 4 years old. That's dropped. So this year, if the van is chargeable, it's £500 for 2007-08. Where a taxable benefit does arise, the cash equivalent is a standard charge of £3,000. The use of company assets rules will apply to larger vans. The full charge applies if the van is used as a benefit throughout the year. The benefit is apportioned if the employee commenced or ceased to use the van privately during the year, and it can be reduced, as with company cars, if the van was unavailable for 30 consecutive days or more. The benefit for any shared vans is apportioned between the users in proportion to their use. So if you have a team of two that use a company van and they share it equally, then they would pay half the benefit charge each. Section H is interest-free and low-interest loans, and indeed other benefits. For interest-free loans, we have a working sheet number 4. The provision of an interest-free loan or a low-interest loan to an employee or member of the family or household by virtue of the employment is a taxable and reportable benefit. A loan is a beneficial loan for the purposes of PLMD reporting when it's arranged or facilitated by the employer or a third party on behalf of the employer, and the rate of interest is less than the official rate of interest. The official rate of interest is 6.25%. You do not have to report on the PLM details of loans used wholly for a qualifying purpose. And for guidance on this, have a look at Chapter 17 and Appendix 5 of the booklet 480. Employers are required to report the cash equivalent for each non-qualifying loan separately, except where a close company elects to treat all non-qualifying loans in the same currency and own at the same time as one loan. If the total amount outstanding on all non-qualifying loans does not exceed £5,000 at any time in the year, such loans can be disregarded. There may be tax relief available for a beneficial bridging loan, but only if the qualifying relocation package is less than £8,000. In this section, the employer is required to report the purpose of the loan, and we have a list: A, loan used for the purpose of a trade, profession or vocation; B, loans used for the purchase of a main residence; C, loans for a purpose eligible for relief other than the purchase of main residence. Then we have D, which is a loan not within A, B or C above; E, a loan given as part of a relocation package; and F, where the purpose of the loan isn't known. Next section on the P11D is section I, private medical treatment or insurance. And the provision of private medical treatment or insurance, except medical insurance cover for overseas duties, is a taxable and reportable benefit on all PLMD employees, but it is not a taxable benefit for any P9D employees. Employers have to report the cost of any private medical or dental treatment or insurance premiums and the cost of any excess on the medical insurance cover if that cost is met by the employer. Any amount made good should be deducted and the net cash equivalent will be reported on the P11D. Premiums may be renewed at different times in the tax year, depending on when the cover was first taken out, but there's no need to pro rata the cost, providing a consistent approach is adopted. The cost of medical screening that is generally available to all employees is still currently treated as a non-taxable benefit, although that's being looked at the moment by HMRC, but they've confirmed that benefit that wasn't taxable in previous years won't be taxable for 2007-08. Next section on the P11B to consider is Section J, Qualifying Relocation Expenditure. And again, we have P11B Worksheet number 5 provided to calculate the cash equivalent of relocation expense payments and benefits. The cost of relocating an employee has to be reported here in terms of qualifying expenditure and at Section N of the P11D in terms of any non-qualifying expenditure. Employers have to report for each move the excess over the £8,000 tax relief limit of qualifying relocation expenses, payments and benefits. The report is made in box 15 on the P11B. The cost of relocating an employee is reported here for qualifying expenditure and at Section N of the P11D for non-qualifying expenditure. Employers have to report for each move the excess over the £8,000 tax relief limit of qualifying relocation expenses, payments and benefits, and the report is made at box 15 of the P11D. A relocation will qualify for tax relief if the employee moves within the employment, say on promotion, or to take up a new employment, and providing that the new residence is within reasonable daily travelling distance of the new workplace. Qualifying expenditure includes the cost of selling the old home and buying the new one, including legal expenses, stamp duty, estate agent fees, removal fees, and the cost of travel between the old home and the new workplace until a new permanent home is found. It would also include the cost of temporary accommodation at the new location whilst the employee looks for more permanent accommodation. The £8,000 tax relief is not an annual limit, and you must therefore establish the cost of any qualifying items included last year and take this into account. There's a time limit of 12 months after the end of the tax year in which the relocation takes place, although HMRC will normally grant an extension if unforeseen circumstances delay the move. Next section on the P11B, Section K, Services Supplied, where we must report the cost of any services supplied to the employee, and you should take into account any amount paid by the employee or from which tax was deducted, and then arrive at the net cash equivalent to be reported at box 15. The cost of any in-house services, such as tax advice provided to employees of an accountancy firm, or conveyancing services provided to employees of a law firm, are not taxable. The charge, if any, would be based on the marginal or additional costs incurred. So the employee of a law firm would be expected to pay the actual cost of items such as search fees. Otherwise, that would be a reportable benefit. The next section on the P11D is Section L, Assets Placed at the Employee's Disposal. The reporting requirement is based on the annual value of the use of the employer asset, and that annual value is 20% of the market value of the asset when it was first used to provide a benefit, or any sum paid by the provider of the asset by way of a rent or hire charge. You have to report here by providing a description of the asset and then reporting the gross benefit comprising the annual value, including any additional expenses incurred in providing the asset. As I've said already, the rent or hire charge should be substituted if this is higher than the annual value. Some employer-provided assets are, however, exempt from a tax charge where the private use of the asset is regarded as insignificant in the context of its use by the employee in performing his or her duties. But it should be noted that this exemption excludes the use of vehicles, including boats and aeroplanes. It might well apply to a laptop provided to an employee who uses it for work but also takes it home. There's no taxable benefit if an employer provides equipment such as a wheelchair or hearing aid to an employee with a disability when it is provided to enable the employee to take up or retain their work and where the employee uses the equipment for significant private use.